President Bush says Saddam Hussein only has a little bit more time before the United States and supporting countries launch a war to remove him from power. Discussions at the United Nations represent, in the president's words, the last phase of diplomacy. With more than 200,000 U.S. troops assembled in the area around Iraq and hundreds of aircraft mobilized for a bombing campaign, nearly everything is set for military action. In some ways, the war already may have begun, NPR's Tom Jeltam reports.
The U.S. military's Central Command, responsible for operations across the Middle East, sent hundreds of warplanes over southern Iraq yesterday and is doing so again today. Officially, they're patrolling the no-fly zone established more than a decade ago to keep the Iraqi government from repressing the minority Shiite population there. But in the last few days, those patrols have increased dramatically with two or three times the normal number of flights. Central Command spokesman James Wilkinson says the United States and its ally Britain are simply responding to what's happening on the ground.
Coalition forces have increased their efforts in the southern no-fly zone because Saddam Hussein has increased his hostile aggression.
The timing of this new activity is no accident. On both sides, the militaries are preparing for war. Wilkinson acknowledges the latest round of U.S. and British strikes may have less to do with enforcing the old no-fly zones than with stopping Saddam Hussein from taking actions that could threaten U.S. ground troops now assembling in Kuwait.
Recently, Saddam Hussein has put surface-to-surface missiles and other military assets that I won't discuss in range of both our troops, the coalition troops down in Kuwait, and the innocent people of Kuwait, the citizens there.
U.S. officials fear that Saddam, facing a hostile force on Iraq's border, may be tempted to attack first by launching a missile loaded with biological or chemical agents. The airstrikes on Iraqi surface-to-surface missiles could be a way to prevent Saddam from doing that. The increased air patrolling over southern Iraq may also reflect pre-war moves on the U.S. and British sides. Retired Air Force Colonel John Warden, chief planner of the 1991 bombing campaign in Iraq, says U.S. commanders may want to increase the airstrikes in southern Iraq now in order to clear the way for the all-out war that could be just around the corner.
Anything that you take out now in the southern fly zone, radar posts or whatever it may happen to be, are things that you don't have to think about a little bit later.
Increased air patrolling could serve other purposes as well. These flights familiarize U.S. and British pilots with the Iraqi landscape and represent valuable training opportunities for everyone involved. The flight routine is also changing, corresponding less to patterns established in recent years and more to what might be seen during wartime. Colonel Warden says that too makes sense. These flights could make it harder for Saddam to know when the real air war begins.
Whenever you are anticipating making an attack of some sort, what you would like to do is to make the actual attack look like normal procedure until the very last instant. So there's obviously some value in that from a deception standpoint.
Colonel Warden says he does not think the architects of a new air war in the Gulf need to worry too much. The Iraqi air defense system, Warden argues, is nowhere near as fearsome as it was in 1991. But the U.S. Central Command fears Saddam Hussein may have come up with other ways to complicate U.S. and British military moves on the ground. James Wilkinson, the Central Command spokesman, says U.S. intelligence has learned that Saddam has ordered the purchase of uniforms identical to those worn by U.S. and British troops. Wilkinson says the uniforms are being distributed to paramilitary units still loyal to Saddam. The fear is those units, dressed in their new U.S. and British uniforms, will commit atrocities against Iraqi civilians and then blame the atrocities on the American and British forces. Tom Jeltam, NPR News, Washington.